Hi, Gunnar Ted Armstrong. For over 27 years, I've been offering a certified cashier's check for $10,000 on this radio program and on my telecasts to anyone who can show me in the King James Bible the phrase, the immortality of the soul, or the phrase, we will go to heaven when we die, or the phrase, when we die, we go to an ever-burning hellfire, end quote. Recently, I had a flurry of people who tried to collect that $10,000, and nearly always when someone thinks they see in the Bible one of those phrases, they will be dealing with the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. Of course, some people say, now that's not a parable. That's absolutely past fact. Those people had names, and people who are in the Bible with their own first names there, they're not part of a parable. And so they argue the parable of the 16th chapter of Luke is not a parable. Well, it doesn't matter whether they were real people or not. What we need to do is to exactly understand word by word what the Bible says and whether or not that is proof that people go to heaven when they die, or if they go to an ever-burning hell when they die and fry and burn and blister and spit and pop and sizzle and boil and bake for all eternity. That means while you go to bed and you're driving along and you're eating your meal and you're laughing at somebody's joke or you're out shopping or you're feeding your face or whatever, these people are lying in there like a Coney Island foot-long hot dog is turning over slowly, making all these popping sounds. And if you believe that, you have got some kind of a mind. I mean, if you can believe, if you can reconcile the fact that God is love, that God is great mercy, that his mercy toward us endureth forever, that his graciousness and his forgiveness is greater than the heavens are high above the earth, that he is absolutely boundless in his desire that we might have the good things in life, that we might prosper and be at peace and be in good health and have only the finest things, and that God wants us to have longevity of life and an absence of pain and heartache and suffering and misery, apprehension and fear, that he wants us to have perfect love, an outgoing feeling of emotion which is concern for the other person. All of the qualities of God you could derive from the Bible, even researching the various meanings of his name. Listen, let me tell you something. If you think some of those letters, like the one from the soldier in the trench near Stalingrad in World War II to his pastor back home in Germany saying, if there is a God, he's with you in the dim, darkened recesses of your cathedral, but he's not out here in the trenches in Stalingrad, and rejecting the idea of a God. You know that tens of thousands of people have done that. Thousands of people have rejected the idea of a God because they cannot reconcile war with God, accident with God, human suffering, especially child death, crib death, and deformities and handicaps, little children with muscular dystrophy and multiple sclerosis and cancer and blindness and deafness, and people who are the parents and the loved ones of these children. And every now and then we will see them on television to raise money for these tens of thousands of crippled children. Every now and then some individual says, look, I can't reconcile what the Bible says about God being good and God being great and God being merciful with all of this human suffering. Well, for pity's sake, take it one gargantuan step further and ask yourself, what kind of a mentality is it that on the one hand purports to preach and teach about a God who is gracious and merciful and a God who is love and the concept of an ever-burning hell fire? Now, you know, mere human emotion, I mean, a flippant answer, some sardonic put-down, well, that's what the Bible says nevertheless, and I can't find what Garner Ted says in my Bible. You know, that's just pretty cheap trash. You know what that is? That's just tinsel. That's last year's newspaper that was wrapped in a rotting fish. That's of how much value that kind of sardonic, disdainful, cryptic human emotion is when it has to do with the plain Word of Almighty God. If you think tens of thousands of human individuals go into atheism and simply shake their head in disgust and say there can't be a God when they look at a child age 3 struggling around in braces, looking up at you, trying to smile with half of their mind gone because they were born that way, then for pity's sake, take that same child and let the child die, as so hundreds of thousands, so many of them do, in that crippled condition, and say because they didn't receive Jesus, they went immediately to a hell fire, and their first few years were nothing but blindness or deafness or a crippled condition in pain and suffering, not even knowing, like some dumb animal, what did they do and why did they deserve it. But now, because some evangelist didn't get them to receive Jesus, they are blistering and popping and burning for all eternity in a hellfire. Somebody's crazy out there if they believe that. The Bible doesn't teach it. The Bible doesn't preach it. The Bible preaches a hellfire infinitely hotter than the one a lot of so-called evangelists talk about. But it's reserved probably for some of the people with that kind of a hard-hearted attitude, with that kind of hatred in their minds for their fellow human beings. Almighty God does talk about a Gehenna fire in the Bible. But if you can understand this, it is both horrible and it is merciful. Horrible because there is no worse way to die. Merciful because once a person is cast into such a fire, they die. They die horribly, but mercifully. They are finally dead and gone. They are consumed. They are burnt up. And the Bible plainly says the wicked will become eventually ashes under the feet of the righteous. Now, that's the real truth of Almighty God. It doesn't matter whether you like it or not. I'm not asking you to like it. I'm telling you that's what the Bible says. In a short series of programs, I want to advertise to you a very challenging booklet. It's entitled, Is Lazarus in Heaven? I'm going to be referring to it in a few programs, and we're going to wade through it verse by verse. Now, first of all, if you want to get your own Bible, take a look at the parable. I'll read through it in Luke 16, 19 to 31, and I'll be referring back to it time and again. It's Luke 16, beginning in verse 19. It says, There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And then he said, I pray you therefore, Father, you saying this to Abraham, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. That's Luke 16, 19 through 31. That's the entire parable. Now notice, first of all, what it doesn't say. In verse 22, it says plainly, Lazarus died. But it does not say, Lazarus died and went to heaven. It says, quote, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Now, what in the world is Abraham's bosom? The word is used 41 times in the Bible, and it always means the same thing, bosom. Exactly as you would speak of a person being clasped to the bosom of another human being. It means the area of the chest or the breast of a human being. For example, a man's wife is spoken of, Deuteronomy 13:16, you'll find this, a man's wife is spoken of as the wife of thy bosom, indicating a close personal relationship. In the famous Last Supper, one of the famous paintings that can be found out in one of the big cemeteries in Los Angeles, for example, the recreation of one of the famous paintings of ancient times, it shows Jesus and all the disciples at this long table, and John, and this is in John 13, verse 23 in the Bible, in the Gospel of John, that John was leaning on Jesus' bosom. there was a very close personal relationship. Not only did John worship Jesus Christ and look up to him as the very Son of God and the Savior, but there was a deeper personal relationship that John and Jesus had that was unique among the disciples. And it was a completely masculine relationship, but he was actually leaning on his shoulder, and it was certainly a gesture of deep affection. It was indicative of a close personal relationship because it said John was leaning on Jesus' bosom. Now, when the Bible says Lazarus was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, it means he is carried into a close personal relationship with Abraham. Question: where is Abraham? Answer: dead, buried, in the grave. Now remember that Jesus said, and I quote John 3:13, "No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." Now he said that when he was on the earth, during his earthly ministry to his disciples, centuries after the death of Noah, of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of the Old Testament prophets, even men who suffered like Daniel and Jeremiah, who was let down into the slime pit, etc. What about righteous King David, who was a man after God's own heart and whom God inspired to write, and probably with the music originally in its original form, all of the Psalms? David, it says in Acts 2:29-34, is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. And it says very plainly in Acts 2 and toward the end of that passage, verse 34, David is not ascended into the heavens. Now, what are you going to do with that verse? Those of you that get excited and angry and upset at me when I tell you there is no ever-burning hell for poor little crippled children to be spitting and popping away like a Coney Island hot dog, shrieking and screaming in agony, and you want to believe there is, and you want to believe that's where they are, and you want to believe that's where all those Russians and Chinese and Japanese and Indonesians and Vietnamese and Laotians and Cambodians and on, tens of millions of human beings who never had a chance, never even heard the name of Jesus Christ, and you want to believe they're there. And anybody comes along and tells you they're not there, well, they're just going to messing with your religion. That's like sticking your index finger in your potatoes and messing around with something on your plate that gets you so mad. Well, I'll tell you what. You explain to me, you write to me, and you give me an explanation of those two scriptures. Why did Jesus say in John 3:13, "No man hath ascended up to heaven"? Centuries after David died, Abraham died, Noah died, Daniel died. And why does it say in Acts 2:34, "David is not ascended into the heavens"? If you want a really straight-from-the-shoulder, plain-talk, challenging booklet on the subject, is Lazarus in heaven, then I'm looking at it. I got it right here on the desk. I'll send it to you by return mail, absolutely free of charge. Listen, this is terrific information. It is joyous information. It's information that releases people from the bondage of fear and believing in a false doctrine, which is not true. Yes, there is an ever-burning hell, you say? No. No, there isn't, but there is a hellfire which is a lot hotter than people think, and that's explained as well in this booklet, Is Lazarus in Heaven? And tell your friends and neighbors where they can hear this program. Until next time, Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.